the record button so that we are recording this and you can listen back to it. I see that Christian has joined us as well.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Christian. How are you, Christian?
I'm fine. Is my sound correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yep. Okay, so let's start with doing some questions. Pascal, you have some questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm always trying to better understand how the different questioning terms mean.
Right.
And I was, let's look at the, I can understand the checking question, which is about when you hear something which is semantically loaded, whether it's an event, a response, or a word,
yeah.
And you ask about that. Now, for testing, what I read about testing is that it's when a client can you're testing to see whether something is valid or not for a client, whether they actually do something or if something really means what they say.
Yeah.
But when you ask the question, is this what we need to talk about today?
Mm-hmm.
How is that a testing question? Is it about validity?
Yeah, that has to do with validity. difficult word. Yeah, so I think it's for me the testing question is that valid for you? Does that do we need to talk about that? Can you do that? Have you done that? Even have you done that before? You're testing to see if you're on the right track.
Okay. Testing to see if they are on the right track.
If they're on the right track, yes. But you like so basically, testing is also, hey, I'm taking you to the leverage point for change. Are we getting closer to that?
Yeah, it's narrowing down the outcome.
It's narrow. Yeah, that's a big part of that of the testing questions is narrowing down the outcome so that you then can loop that back to the what question.
Okay. Okay, I had a mind map on this. I was just going to update it.
Yeah.
Map back to web. Okay.
So and quite like if I'm completely honest, I think that sometimes there is a little bit of a gray overlap between testing and checking questions.
I completely agree with you. That's what I was thinking too.
And I the way that I look at it is for me it's not so much like whether you actually can distinguish them, like obviously that's like
right.
It's nice
yeah.
to distinguish the main ones, but yeah. It's like are you doing the purpose of why you have checking and testing questions?
They really
make a difference in energizing the well-formed outcome funnel. So if your client says something, and so under checking questions, we say that it's checking if something is semantically loaded. That is one thing, but we can also, if my client is talking about something and then they talk about something else, I can also check, are those two related? That would also be a checking question. So does X equal Z? So that you start to understand what the relationships are. So that's also a checking question that's not necessarily semantically loaded.
You're right. Well, it may be, if it's related.
It could be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So. Well, I understand about the purpose is, I was thinking if I was giving feedback to someone and saying you've done this many checking questions or this many testing questions, I really wanted to be clear. There's a little overlap on that. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And for me, I'm not always clear, to be honest. But the way that I've solved that is, okay, I need to, the question that they ask, what purpose does it have? And does it have the purpose to energize the well-formed outcome? So.
Well, that would be for both questions then.
For both questions, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So. My next question is, in the this week's module, for me at least, it was about after the well-formed outcome.
Okay.
And listed the different conversations that a person could have.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the book on the coaching conversations, and then there's a table in the book which talks about if you're doing the well-formed outcome and you get a no, then you would go to one of these conversations. And I did a little map of it, and I put it on the Facebook.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, for example, if you're talking about so it's not just after the well-formed outcome, but it's during the well-formed outcome?
Right.
Okay.
Well, where you, during the well-formed outcome questions, you determine what kind of coaching conversation it's going to be.
Okay. Because you consider coaching after the well-formed outcome.
Yeah. In a way, you're both, like, even before the well-formed outcome, you're still coaching.
Yeah.
But what we often say is, because some people, they start solving someone's problem without having the outcome really defined, so they okay. help them get into a state, and so that's how like we then distinguish that you already started coaching, but
to,
you can't
to,
coach
to
without.
Solving coaching to solving their,
yeah
to coaching to help them solve their problem. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, or help them get an outcome, but you haven't set an outcome yet. You assume that there's an outcome.
Okay.
So that's how we want to make that distinction.
Okay. Okay. Looking back at the well-formed outcome questions, there were certain places where I looked at, for example, where a certain kind of conversation would occur. And I know that if we look at these different conversations like clarity and decision, and you have all sorts of kinds of questions in them. You could even have confrontations in them.
Right.
But it talked about resources having confrontations as being one of the kinds of conversations that will come out of resources. How would that be? If the resource question, you know, do you have the internal or external resources to do this?
That you need a confrontation session?
Yeah.
Yeah, so confrontation has a lot to do with if someone has blind spots or they are avoiding, and okay. so then if they don't feel like they have the resources or they to get resources, a lot of the time people are doing something else.
Right.
And so you need to confront them on that.
Okay.
I would say that not necessarily that's like the conversation to have, like, even if you have a change conversation, but because resources might also be a change conversation, then you can have confrontation as a part of that.
Yeah, they also had, he listed, well, in the book was experience, change, and confrontation conversations, either of those
yeah.
three.
Yeah.
I could think experience is about internal resources.
Right. That's
and then
trying them on. And
trying them on.
And role playing and things like that.
Okay, and then the change would be for empowerment, empowering the resources.
Change would be, hey, right now I'm having some other frames and beliefs that are getting in the way.
Okay.
And so I need to kind of say no to those, and then say bring in other resources. Which
okay.
then you would also be experiencing, but
right.
it's more about the change than it is about the experience.
Okay, I see. Okay, so each of these conversations is about a certain thing you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And
okay.
so if your client has a blind spot that mm-hmm. they are not, because confrontation conversation has to do with someone having a blind spot, and that blind spot keeps them responding in a certain way. It keeps them in a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to get out of there, or they don't want to stretch to go to the desired outcome because it's too scary or too, so that in that sense, it becomes a confrontation conversation to help them see their blind spot and then bring resources in to move to their desired state.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I think that's all the questions I have for today.
Okay, very good. Let's check in with the others. Christian, do you have any questions?
Yes, I have a question about the leverage.
Okay.
Many times I hear to find the leverage of the person who is coach, mm-hmm. but I'm totally confused with what does it mean and how do you know it is a leverage?
Okay. So leverage, what does it mean and how do you know that it is a leverage? That's what you're asking,
yes.
right? Okay. So let's start with how do you know that it, what is a leverage? So the leverage is when you get to that point that if you change that part, because if you look at someone's present state as a system, mm-hmm. so there's different parts of it. You've got the trigger, you've got the way that someone is thinking and feeling about it, the meanings that they give it, their behavior, etc. So that's like a system, and it may be several layers of meanings. The leverage point is that one aspect of the system, and it can be something very small, that if you change that, the whole system changes so that transformation occurs. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. I understand now clearly what it is.
Okay.
But how do you know it?
How do you know? So first of all, you want to get the parts of the system. So that's where you want to ask clarity questions to get the idea of the movie, the strategy process of mm-hmm. how someone is doing their problem or how someone wants to do their desired state. And then you help your client step back and then ask, what is it that we need to be working on, knowing that this is the way that you operate. Then you can give a menu list. The way that you kind of find out is through your testing questions. Is this what we need to be working on? So this morning I had a coaching session with a lady, and she wanted to write her newsletter. And she kept on avoiding writing her newsletter. So in asking what happens when you sit down and you want to write your newsletter, because it was for her that was an effort and she would start sweating and et cetera, et cetera. So we asked about all the frames. And what she does is she makes it an effort. Okay, so I asked her, because I can't see that, how do you make writing a newsletter an effort? What would I need to do that? And so then she said, well, it has to be perfect. And so I'm like, okay, like, what do you believe about that? And that it has, that creates that need for it to be perfect. So we kind of unraveled that. And so I could have started with perfectionism and say like, okay, you know, let's change that. And I asked that. But ultimately what was behind that was the fact that she was confusing what she writes down with who she is. So for her, what she writes down, if people judge that, then they are judging her. Mm-hmm. And so that feels unsafe. So then it has to be perfect. So that was the leverage point for change, that separating those two out. And because we separated those two out, she didn't have to make it perfect anymore. It could just be a work in progress. And so then you can hear. And the way that I test that is by, so is that what we need to be working on? And then my client says, yes, that would really make a difference. So I don't try to kind of think, oh, that, like, obviously I think what is going to would this make a difference? I check that with myself, but then I always ask my client, because my client is the one who can say, yes, this is going to make a change. Does that answer your question?
Yes. But the leverage point is the coach that tests it to check if you ever change this, what will happen to your outcome?
Absolutely. And your client is the one who can answer that question.
Okay. Now I get it. Okay.
Awesome. Very good. Okay, so let's see if Holly has some questions. Hi, Holly.
Hello, Wiemke. I don't have any questions.
Perfect. So what I would like to do today is to do another session of getting the strategy process, because that makes such a difference in your coaching. Holly, you mentioned that you wanted to coach today.
Yes.
Very good. You're still up for that?
Yes.
Very good. I'm going to hold you to it. So,
thank you.
Pascal or Christian, does any of you have something that you would like to be coached on?
I could be coached on some things.
Okay, great.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Perfect. So, Holly, I'm going to give you 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then, Christian, what we're going to do is, after those 15 minutes, you are going to take over. And it depends if Holly already has the strategy, then we can take the next step. Otherwise, we can continue with the strategy. So we'll see that in 15 minutes.
Okay.
So, Holly, no need to do any pre-framing or anything. Okay. All that you need to focus on and get it is getting the strategy process.
Okay. Hello, Pascal.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
You're fine.
Okay. So, do you have something you're avoiding or...
Avoiding?
Or improve or...
I have something I want clarity on.
Okay.
So, this... I have several things. This is probably one that I'm interested in. I'm not sure how strategy comes in, but let's do this one. It's about I retired from my company in the end of March, and okay. I've been what I call circling.
Okay.
What I usually do is I go from one field to the next: system dynamics, neurosemantics, coaching, mathematics problems, teaching, and I want to narrow down the circle.
Okay.
And one way I do that is by finding one thing that's common to all of these things and trying to fit things into that one thing, like modeling, which is the one thing I fit things into. Because I'd like to be more focused in my next careers.
Okay. So if I understand you right, mm-hmm. You want more clarity. Mm-hmm. You've been circling from one field to the next, and you'd like to narrow that down into one thing, or to narrow the circle down.
Narrow the circle down. Narrow
okay. Circle. So how are you not narrowing the circle down? What are you doing right now?
What I do is I spend some time on learning more about system dynamics, taking a course, which I did.
Okay.
I'm doing now. Then I spend some time working on that in depth. Then I shift to the next thing, modeling karate self defense techniques, and then I shift and I go to a workshop and do that, and then I write it down. I write down what I do, and I submit it. I give it to people, so it's not just in my head. This weekend I went to the Kennedy Center to meet an old professor of mine. We're working on a mathematics problem.
Okay.
So I'm trying to. So I thought that
you're not.
Yeah. Okay. Go.
Oh, so what is it you're not doing? When you think about narrowing down, what happens?
Let me tell you what came to mind and why I'm thinking
okay.
about this. Because my wife asked me something the other day, and I've been thinking about it since. Like I have, over the years, accumulated lots of resources in different fields.
Okay.
And I don't even know what I have. They're in boxes, they're in tapes, they're in CDs. And I go through my house and I search. I feel like an archaeologist.
Okay.
And I feel that I would like to just drop everything and circle to the exploring my house, trying to find what there is, putting into seeing how it fits into my writing. And my wife said, "Well, it doesn't sound like you're giving yourself permission to do that."
Okay.
So that's probably, there's something around that, because
okay.
I have a strategy for learning.
Okay, so you have a strategy for learning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a strategy for, you said you've gathered a lot of resources,
mm-hmm.
And that you feel like an archaeologist,
mm-hmm.
And then you'd like to drop everything, but when it comes to narrowing down, is it that you don't feel like you have permission?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I feel like that's what occurred to me, that I'm okay. This is okay. Learning. This is about learning. Learning to me, in which these fields all. By the way, I try to solve my own problems, so it's hard for me to discuss them.
Okay. So.
Learning to me is like survival.
Okay.
There's an old feeling about survival. When I was in Vietnam, I think because of what I was able to learn quickly, I was able to survive. So learning,
okay.
to me, throughout my life, it's been about learning as much as I can about a field. So some of those old things about surviving may not be those things that are relevant today.
Okay, so you just said that to you, learning is like survival.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it has taken that role in the past as survival.
Okay.
I think of that.
So in order to survive, you can't narrow down.
Well, think about it. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I'm actually talking about it. If I'm learning everything I come across,
okay.
In some, you know, I couch it around writing and modeling and in that area. Then
right.
I am. Maybe some of it doesn't have to be as intense. What I like is focus points. Like I wrote an article recently.
Okay.
It helped me focus. And I enjoyed that, and
okay.
I brought everything I knew, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know how to create focus, but how is it that you keep from not giving yourself permission to narrow down so that you can get clarity on that? Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm a little lost to tell you the truth. So you're telling me what your strategy for not getting clarity is you like to learn, you have lots of resources, you go from modeling to defense to a workshop to mathematics,
mm-hmm.
you know how to circle,
mm-hmm.
And you what you want to do is to know what field to go into next. So,
well, I want to be able to have a little narrower circles.
Narrow
I don't think
circle,
I'll ever stop
so
circling. I just want to have a narrower
okay.
circles, and
okay.
and the way I've been doing that in the past is integrating things.
Okay, so
like yeah,
you mean not narrowing the circle or narrowing the circle by integrating things?
Narrowing the circle by integrating things, like integrating
okay.
system thinking and NLP and neurosemantics. I did, you know, things I like to things I'm interested in. I like to narrow down, but I think I've overextended myself.
Okay. So I'm just curious, is overextending yourself
mm-hmm.
do not to narrow the circle down?
No, I would like to narrow the circle down, but I don't want to give up some things. So one way of not giving them up is to integrate them so that I can create something that has elements of more than one thing, of my interests.
Okay.
I'm thinking out loud.
Okay.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about this.
Okay, I know you are. So integrating things does allow you to narrow things down.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm really
the other
confused
thing about
right.
Yeah, I know. The other thing was about learning. Is that by enlarging my circle, it's for learning.
Okay.
Learning a lot, learning intently. And I'm thinking maybe it's almost like when I grow up, I will have done all these things.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to. So that's why I want. My question was clarity. I'm trying to get clarity around
okay.
this, which sounds a bit confusing. Maybe
okay,
I should have picked
so
the one
are
about
you,
eating. You know?
Are you doing your problem now in front of me, by talking about
yeah, probably.
All these things you're doing?
I'm trying to illustrate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask me a question.
So let me ask you this question. What goes through your mind when you think about narrowing down? Is it a movie? Is it something you say to yourself? Is it a feeling?
What goes through my mind is having less a circle with a smaller radius, and so it's a feeling.
Okay, so it's a okay.
It's
can
a
you
tightening
say
and a focus.
Okay, so
where the things I'm working on are all on the circle, and they come closer, more like being integrated into a modeling approach, whether it's training, talking, giving speeches, or experimenting with this or that.
And so how does that prevent you from having clarity on the next field to go in? How
it's
does
not,
this feeling... What do you believe about narrowing down?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, narrowing down was just a recent thought of mine. Because I noticed what I thought about this weekend was that I was circling. I circle. You know,
okay.
I do one thing intently, then I move on to the next, then I move on to the next until I go back again to the circle. I haven't got, like I worked on using a ballet notation to illustrate self-defense techniques in the martial arts.
Okay.
And I did that early this year, and I want to go back to it, but I haven't gone back to that yet.
Okay.
So that's sort of like on the next list of coming up.
Okay. So you keep circling and circling and circling.
Well, maybe I want to feel good about maybe I want to feel good about this. Maybe I want to feel this is fine.
So,
about permission, I think, somewhere in there. It's fine to circle, and that if I want to do nothing other than explore my house and you know, get my magnifying glass out and look through these boxes and think about things.
So when you think about getting clarity on narrowing down the circle, does your mind go to doing other things? And what you said is you want to give yourself permission just to do that. So.
My mind goes to modeling. My mind goes to writing about modeling. It goes right to or integrating different fields about modeling. My mind just goes. I feel like I need to or have to circle that field or come into it and produce something related to it. Like I wrote an article which is related to it. I started a book on it.
Did you finish it?
No.
Do you finish things in your circle?
Oh yeah, I finished lots of things. I finished this article. It was a 4,500 word article. I finished simulations of this mathematical problem we're working on.
So you've been doing lots of integrating and doing lots of things, but
I feel uncomfortable about it for some reason. Go ahead.
Okay, can we stop and let me stick within the perimeters of how you're doing this. So we started out with you wanted clarity on what field to go into, that you wanted to narrow the circle. And you talked about how right now you spend time learning and modeling and defense and going to workshops and circling in that, and that you have a lot of resources. And then you talked about permission, how you felt like you hadn't given yourself permission to narrow the circle. You got this feeling, this tightening, this focus, And then you went to integrate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about circling,
mm-hmm.
And how your mind just goes to modeling and how that's important to integrate those fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious,
mm-hmm.
What does clarity mean to you when you think about narrowing the circle? I'm not even sure that's the question I want to ask.
That's a good question.
Let me ask you again.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. Pascal started out with clarity.
Yeah.
What did he say? What came after that?
Retired. He had retired. And he wanted to decide what field to go into next.
Okay. What kind of insight came after that?
What came after that? I have.
How does he relate to narrowing down?
Well, I don't think he does narrowing down. I think he.
Okay.
So he talked about the modeling, but he circles around narrowing down.
And how does he feel? How does he feel about narrowing down and integrating?
What he said is he gets this feeling in tightening in his body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a feeling. That's not telling me what emotion he has about that.
He says it feels uncomfortable, and it has something to do with permission.
Okay.
So that would be really good to kind of ask a clarity question of what specifically is narrowing down to him and integrating. Are those two the same thing? I'm not sure.
Okay.
And what creates this feeling of discomfort or uncomfortable when he thinks about that? So you want to ground it on the one hand. What specifically is he thinking about? So he's thinking about some of those topics and integrating them. What does he see, hear, feel? And then how does he relate to that that makes him feel uncomfortable? I think also you were really kind of spot on when you said, are you doing your problem right in front of me? And it sounds like speaking faster and faster is part of that. Is a result of being uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so what you want, because you confronted him on that, and then you kind of let that go. He said, oh, yeah, I guess so. And then he just kept on with the same speed.
Okay.
So that's something to give him feedback on. So, okay, you know, is this part of what you start doing when you are uncomfortable? You just start speeding up. What is that about? What state are you in right now? So then you comment on emotions so that he can step outside of that and you can start to unravel that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do 3 more minutes.
Okay. So, Pascal, what does narrowing mean to you? How are you using that word?
It's working on less things.
Okay.
But yet to do that, integrate the things that are there.
Okay.
So it's actually trying to create something that is relevant to all my interests and satisfies my values and things that I feel really exciting to do, but yet make it a little narrower and in terms of less things.
Okay, so narrowing means working on less things mm-hmm. and integrating the things that are already there.
And that's a way of narrowing is to integrate them so that if I do something, its purpose is for this, is a higher purpose. You know, it's for working on a book. You know, this is an aspect of it the chapter, or now I come back to the center. I have a one page mind map that I keep update every couple of weeks on
okay,
this.
But okay, so are you again doing your problem? Because narrowing down went from working on less things and integrating the things that are already there, mm-hmm. and then you went to doing something for a higher purpose, and mm-hmm. you'd created a one-page mind map. So mm-hmm. I'm just curious about that.
That's a narrowing down. I mean, I'm seeing I have a to-do list and stuff that's pretty long. I just have one page that says this is where my life is.
Oh, that's what that means. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. And
so I can look at it and think.
When you think about, okay. Oh, you didn't think what?
It helps me focus. Is to have all my life on one page.
Okay, that's how that works. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
That's fine.
And so Pascal, when you get this feeling of discomfort, when you think about narrowing it down.
Holly, I'm just going to stop you for a moment.
Okay.
Do you know what he means with working on less things?
No.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do first is to really ground it. What is he specifically talking about when he says working on less things?
He's talking about doing less things, having a to-do list with less on it, one page to create focus. He's talking about integrating things already there, and to do this for a higher purpose.
So then, what specifically would be less? If you're working on less things, how many things would you be working on specifically? And do you know specifically what you're going to be working on? So that you really ground it.
Okay, that's what you mean by grounding. I'm like, what do you mean?
What is okay, exactly. Well, how are you using that word? I'm asking you to ask clarity questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was how can you ground it any more than that? So
right.
As you were saying that, I was thinking. So it may not necessarily be to narrow things down. It may be to compartmentalize things a bit.
Okay.
Not all the same thing.
Right.
Like I do the martial arts, but I don't have to make that part of anything else. I do it because I like it. So, that's clarity was what I'm interested in.
Yeah. So Fimke, how do you work with someone, Pascal?
Never ask him to be a coach.
Oh, no, I don't mean it as a bad thing. I'm trying to figure out how to say the question. So I'm trying to ground narrowing down and what that is for that person.
Right.
But they can, so Pascal goes to compartmentalize. So would I then again follow that, or would I stick with the narrowing and what narrowing down means?
Still stick with the narrowing down. So that you have that grounded, because that's where he mentioned that he, you know, that he feels uncomfortable. And so,
yeah.
So my guess is the uncomfortable feeling has him also kind of avoid that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you really want to kind of ground it. And then like as what you did really well is like, are you doing your problem right in front of me? And then when you say that, also mm-hmm. give feedback on like, what is the behavior that makes you think that? Like speaking faster, jumping to another topic, or, you know, jumping to another topic or saying, oh, no, it might be this or it might be that, or that might be a part of that as well. So every time you want to help your client step outside of their matrix. So that they can look at it, at what specifically they are doing.
Okay.
So that you don't have to work really hard inside of that matrix, because that's, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So, that's right.
So what I noticed that you did really, really well is your consistent acknowledgments and feeding that back. You asked meta questions about that. To take that to the next level is when you when you have like a word like narrowing down, make sure that you know specifically that you can see how do you narrow down. So when you have like how many items do you have on your to-do list right now that makes you feel like you've overextended yourself? Well, every day I have, you know, 20 things on my list, and I want to narrow that down to just 5. So what comes up when you're thinking of narrowing it down to just 5? Well, then I feel like I'm losing out or on those other things, and that's why I want to integrate it. What specifically do you mean with integrating? Because then he mentioned, well, like all of those items have a specific value for him. And at the same time, there's also that notion of survival. So there's on the one hand, there's like all these values that he has, and it's purposeful for all of those activities. But at the other hand, there's also this notion of learning equals survival. So I have to, like, it's almost like I have to learn to survive. How much is that in the way? So then you start to kind of unravel, like, what are all the aspects of this system? And it's going to be easier to do when you actually have, like, something like, hey, the to-do list. Would that be, you know, would that be narrowing down if you bring it from 20 to 5? And then you, and then he probably, okay, so let's think about this. You bring it down from 20 to 5. I'd like you to see those 5. What comes up for you? Well, you know, and then all these feelings come up, and you want that to happen. So that, but you want your client to step outside of that, see what's happening, and feel what's happening. Oh, this is how I'm doing that. Of course, I'm not gonna narrow it down because I feel like completely. Oh my God. So
yeah,
was it useful for you, Holly?
Yes, extremely useful. I like the part where I can't win. I can't win. By getting the strategy process and narrowing that down, that speeds things up for me.
Okay.
Instead of not chasing meanings, but not grounding them enough.
Right. And that's, especially if you have a client like Pascal who doesn't ground it himself, which is what happens a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I could ground it.
I know you could.
You're asking to know.
Exactly. And that's what I'm really hoping to teach Holly.
Thank you.
Yes, high five, Holly. I'm really glad that you stepped out and did this.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, Holly, I'm going to mute you. Pascal, are you okay to be coached a little bit longer?
I'm fine. In fact, I'll probably be coached next week with Joe, too, so I'm probably getting the same
topic.
Look
at that. Very good. Christian?
Yes, sir?
Where are you after this conversation? What did you learn? What insights did you get?
I have an insight that... as Pascal is asking himself about narrowing the circle, is looking to learn about it, which creates the effect, the opposite effect.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, well, I would say it differently. There's a thing to explore the strategy just to make him observe Pascal doing his strategy.
Right.
And check what.
Yeah, exactly. So what I would like to do in the next 15 minutes is to help Pascal get the strategy of how he relates to narrowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And what his strategy is for overextending himself.
Oh, okay. I got the second one. The first one, how to relate to narrowing down.
Yeah, how does that make him feel uncomfortable?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so, Pascal, do you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay. So, you mentioned that narrowing down was a kind of problem for you. And so... Does it make you uncomfortable when you want to narrow the circle?
It does. It makes me uncomfortable when I think of doing less of these things, because each of them has a value.
Yes.
But I'm not sure why it makes me uncomfortable.
Sorry, would you say again?
I'm not sure why it makes me uncomfortable.
And would you just explore a bit and just imagine that you're observing yourself,
mm-hmm.
but observing Pascal, mm-hmm. and checking the way is getting uncomfortable. How does that happen when you observe?
Well, what comes to mind is I have a library full of these courses from the great courses on physics, writing, all of these courses, and I feel like I want to go through them, or some of the fun ones, and I think that because of my current things that I have going on, that I can't. So I think that, well, if I were to have a better handle on what I wanted to do during normal hours, well, I could just put that aside for a while and just have fun reading and enjoying some of these courses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking about.
Okay. May I stop you a moment?
Yes.
I would like, because you described a sequence.
Yes.
With a library, with what you think at the first time, the think at the first time. At what moment exactly are you feeling uncomfortable?
Let's see. I guess when the current things I'm doing tugs on my time. That's what I can think about. I've been thinking lately, and I have done this, is just today's a day of rest. I'll do some of these other things, like watch mm-hmm. a movie or this or that. But it's not clear to me why everything has to be so urgent for me. I don't have to make any money. I could do whatever I want to, but this urgency is there. So I feel that, and I would like to feel less urgent about some of the things I'm doing,
mm.
but enjoy doing
mean?
Them. Yeah. What does urgency
what does
mean?
That? Sorry. What does that mean, that urgency, for you?
I'm not sure exactly what it means other than that's probably what makes me talk faster.
Talk faster? And what else?
that I'd like to have, you know, before I leave this earth, I'd like to accomplish more things. Writing, teaching, things that that I want to do. So,
okay. And how do you know that you are talking faster? How do you realize it?
I can hear myself talking faster. Not all the time. My wife tells me I'm talking faster.
So you can hear yourself?
I can hear myself.
How do you do that?
How do I hear myself talking faster? It's more of a feeling.
So you have, a feeling?
If I get excited, yeah. If I get excited. I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, my wife doesn't talk as fast, so I have to slow down. And usually when you're in rapport with someone, I usually have to slow down. So contextually, most of the time I know when to slow down. But when I'm talking about things, maybe I don't notice all the time that I'm talking fast. I think now I'm more conscious of it. I think I'm talking slowly now for me.
Yes, for you. And well, would you experience something, please? Just step in the moment where you have a problem and take the time to realize that you are talking faster. What would happen then?
Well, I would know there's some sort of conflict going on.
Some sort of conflict? Mm-hmm. What kind of conflict?
Deciding what to do, a decision about whether to do this or that, if I had a problem.
So is it about a decision?
Yes, what to do in the next moment, what to do the next, what to plan, what activities to do.
Okay. And do you know how to? Sorry.
Okay, go right ahead. Do I know how to?
Do you know how to make your decision at that moment?
I think I do. Most of the time I do. Sometimes I avoid things as well. Some procrastinate, but most of the time what I do is set external boundaries, external, like taking a course. If I decide I want to take a course, then that will put me into a situation where I work for the course because I know it's due a certain result to do a certain time. If I want to learn a certain field, I took a master's degree in the field because I knew that I'd have to spend the time doing it. So I create external markers and to accomplish things.
So it looks like you have a strategy to make that decision.
That's one strategy.
Okay.
Is that I have these commitments that mm-hmm. I've agreed to.
Okay, so would you step again in the situation, realize that you talk faster, feel that conflict, and make a decision? What happens next?
Well, I usually pick the option that requires me to meet a commitment, an external commitment, as opposed to my own internal desire. I'm thinking. I'm sitting here, and I'm looking over to my shelf, which is behind me, and I see all these DVD courses on different topics. Like one is on the shape of geometry or something, and I look at that. It'd be fun to do that. But I think about things in which I've agreed to do or committed to do. All the although I want to say that I enjoy doing many of the things I commit to do, or else they would not be there. But decision. So it's a little unbalanced, I think. Is that
imbalanced
in this way, in that if most of what I do is because of commitments I make, to external commitments, then it seems like I need to make internal commitments about certain things that are just for me.
You need to make a commitment at that moment?
At the moment, to say, well, it's not at the moment. It's outside of the moment. It's, how do I explain this? That I many times make a decision based on my external commitments. Although I've created them, they may not be desired anymore. But I ignore some of the internal commitments, which may be just to have fun, just to take a day and explore some of these courses or go out in the outside, you know, do some work through a karate form or something. It seems like it'd be nice if I could decide a spur of the moment decisions. You know, this is something I'd like to do now. Just put that stuff aside. So,
I'm a bit lost. What stuff are you talking about?
I'm talking about things to do, to commit to, that are mostly for me to have fun in this particular activity. No other purpose, just to, or to relax in this particular environment, or to no external commitment to another person or to another group, or even to one of my own projects. But just that more relaxed, I'd like to be more relaxed about deciding things to do.
May I stop you a moment?
Sure. I'm rambling here.
Because I noticed one thing. You mentioned one thing, which is watching to relax, and the second, which is doing your commitments. It looks like an all or nothing. Aren't there scales into that?
Yeah, there are scales.
So, Christian, I'm also curious how it relates to the original topic of narrowing down and him feeling uncomfortable with that.
I was trying to make Pascal describe this strategy when he feels bad to make that decision so he can narrow the circle, find the strategy of gaining that, narrowing that circle.
Okay, so I'm still not sure how he relates to narrowing down. And what narrowing down specifically is.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot that point, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, 3 more minutes.
Okay. So, Pascal, there's one point we did not explore, which was what does specifically narrowing down the circle mean for you?
It means to be able to bring in these other things that I mentioned, that
to bring in the elephant.
If many of the things that I have in my circle are external commitments, then it's to bring, I'm just guessing, this is a guess, then narrowing down means that I won't feel so scattered occasionally and be able to do, you know, take some time and do things like look at some of these videos or...
Did I understand that?
I don't know. Clarity is what I wanted, and I'm trying to gain clarity in this whole thing, and it's hard to be clear. Hard to gain clarity for me.
So, Justin Mentner, you mentioned that narrowing the circle was being able to put your commitments for a movement at, over or off, I don't know I would say in English, sorry, and do something that pleases you. Does that mean something like this?
Yeah.
Did you hear, Christian, what Pascal just said?
About
clarity?
He said, yeah. He said he was looking for clarity and needed to think about.
And it's hard to gain clarity.
Just as you said that, just that now?
Yeah, he just said that. Oh, it's hard to gain clarity. So there's something, there's energy there. So it's hard to gain clarity.
I can actually feel myself getting warmer. You can't see that, but I can tell you now.
You can actually what?
Feel myself getting warmer.
Okay. Warmer.
And I'm just sipping I'm just sipping water. So,
warmer because?
I don't know. Just happened just as we were discussing this last few minutes.
Okay.
As if I had a fever.
Wow. Okay. So if you, when did that happen? Did it happen before hard to gain clarity, or?
I guess right around that time.
Right around.
Right
that
after
time.
It. Yeah, I noticed myself right after we talked about that.
Right.
When you asked Christian about what I was thinking.
Okay. So that seems like something important.
It is important, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the whole conversation, I thought, was
a clarity.
Having more clarity about what I do.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And now you said it's hard to gain clarity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Christian.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pascal.
I still think that it's related to my need to learn to survive in some way, and to decouple that would be useful. To feel that I don't need to be as intense in learning, to feel that I need to be intense in learning as part of my survival. I don't think I need to worry too much about survival.
Okay.
Although, you know, but yeah. You know.
Okay. So what I heard you say.
There's a belief around it. There's a belief around it and frames
right.
around it that it's not just the strategy. It's the, what informs the strategy. Yeah.
Okay. So you have the, you have like when it comes to learning, you overextend yourself. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you have a long to-do list. And what's behind that, what drives that, is a need to learn because learning is survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so those frames of learning is survival are what's stopping you from narrowing down.
That could be.
And what you want is clarity, and you said that it's hard to gain clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, Christian, ahead, Pascal.
No. I was trying to think if I've gained any so far, but I'm not sure yet. I have to listen to this as when you publish it.
Okay, good. So, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear the layers that Pascal is talking in?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a first layer about learning, and that's a second over, which is about surviving.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And that layer looks like overworking, giving us meaning of survival to many things which prevents from relaxing and leaving commitments.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It looks like a protection mechanism which is over-functioning.
Okay, okay. And so on top of that, he said it's hard to gain clarity, and that's when he started to get warm.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like something, because that's where something went on, so that might be something to explore a little bit as well.
To explore the hardness to find clarity.
To gain clarity, yeah.
Oh.
So what is that about? That the heat that came up, because he said it feels like I'm getting a fever. So something happened right there. In terms of gaining that clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get some information about that? I'll give you a few more minutes.
Okay, so Pascal, you just mentioned that when it was about finding the clarity, you were feeling very hot, and you mentioned you sipped some water.
The only thing I can think of is that we may be getting closer to the issue I'm concerned about is, or might be getting closer to what a resolution might be. I don't have any other idea about that other than that.
What do you mean by getting closer? How far is it for now?
Good question. I don't think it's that far, but I'm very kinesthetic. I don't think it's that far, but I can't. You know, it's about relaxing about what I said today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about maybe it isn't such a big deal.
Maybe such not such.
It's not. It's all this jargon. Maybe it's not such so overwhelming or that I think it to be. Once you think about it.
I'm sorry, I did not understand your last sentence.
Once I think mm-hmm. about it, I'm thinking maybe it's not a big deal. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking of, although I like doing these different things I have, maybe it's mm-hmm. important to layer them, and work, focus on a few first and then bring others in if I'm still interested. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. just thinking of ways of not, like I say, circle them. But maybe that's not a good metaphor. Maybe it's
just something. Yeah. May I stop you just a second? Because you mentioned you're kinesthetic and you were one step from the goal.
I'm visually kinesthetic. Visual kinesthetic.
And most of the things you mentioned, it was about thinking. I did not hear anything about feeling.
I am visually kinesthetic. So in other words, I feel. Feeling is my primary mode of feel of.
Mm-hmm.
Primary. So right here, I'm looking at my life map, which you know you can't see. I'm looking at it as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the different categories and on the one page mind map, looking at it and as we talk. So I'm looking and then discussing it. It's hard for me just to not do something without seeing something, but primarily I'm very kinesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Even
you
though know,
just about that clarity you're looking for, how does that feel, that clarity?
Well, it's not quite there. It doesn't feel quite, although I have to think about it, this conversation, and listen to it again. Because it takes me time to think through things.
Mm-hmm.
Being kinesthetic. I mean, just talking about it is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings out. Some of it sounds kind of silly, but it brings out. You know. it seems like I have to let some things go.
Mm-hmm. So okay, when you so are narrowing the
time
circle,
is up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Pascal, for diving in and exploring.
You're welcome.
And thank you also, Christian. I think what your strength is, Christian, is that you can kind of ask, okay, what happens, and then what happens after that, and then what's the next step? So you really know how to unravel that. For you, the next step would be to ask more meta questions. If there's like a if Pascal is thinking about narrowing it down, and let's say we really have uncovered what specifically that means, and it is bringing his daily to-do list from 20 to 5 items for the day. And the reason why he feels uncomfortable is because he has a need to learn, and that intensity, certain intensity, because that means survival. And what does he believe about that? So asking more meta questions about that, then you really get the whole picture. And that's where you get to that leverage point for change. So grabbing hold of, hey, you know, this is about survival, and Pascal actually said it's about, you know, the frames I have around that. So let's explore those frames. So what do you believe about, so if learning is survival, what comes up for you? Where did you learn that? What, because he mentioned Vietnam. So I'm guessing that pictures from Vietnam come up. That might be, I don't know. But really getting into that, okay, what does that mean? If it, he relates it back to Vietnam, that's where he learned to learn. And learning equals survival. Okay, so if learning equals survival, what do you believe about that? And what conclusion did you draw from that? Then what does narrowing down mean if learning equals survival? Does that mean that you're going to die? That you're not going to survive? And it may, that may sound very illogical, but that might very well be the belief that is behind it. So asking those meta questions, I think, would make a difference for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was stuck too much on strategy and not on the, what was all around.
And yes, that's also part of the strategy. Is how does someone come to a specific state? But meta questions are part of figuring out the strategy of someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a linear process.
Oh, that's an insight.
High five.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Christian. Do you have any more questions for me?
No. I need to digest all I today.
Perfect. And, very good.
Really good moment. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
And thank you, Pascal and Holly.
You're welcome. High five. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Holly, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Pascal, any questions?
Nope, not at this moment.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. And I'm going to be posting the recording up later today, so you have access to that. And 2 weeks from now, we have another call, and that's the last call for this month. So then we will start again in January.
Do you know which week in January we're going to start? Which
yes, let me just see. Because
we're planning a trip, and I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, so 17th. That would be the 14th.
Well, the 14th. Okay, that's okay. Well, that's fine. 14th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll begin again on the 14th. Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, have a great day, everyone. And we'll speak to each other 2 weeks from now. If you have any questions, you can.